Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll begin by looking at the circumstances of Job, as we pick up in Job chapter 1, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
The book of Job begins what is classically called the books of poetry in the Bible. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. This will make up the next section of the scripture. We've been through the books of the law. We've been through the books of history. And now we are going into what are known as the poetic books, and then we will go into the books of prophecy. Again, the books of poetry do not fit any chronological order. In other words, we've just finished with the book of Esther, which was the end of the books of history. Job didn't follow Esther from a historic standpoint. Job probably lived sometime during the book of Genesis, maybe even a contemporary to Abraham. Job goes way back from a historic standpoint. In fact, it is one of the oldest books of literature. Now, in our thought of poetry, we usually think of a rhythm and a rhyme. And the beauty of poetry lies in its rhythm and in its rhyme. Breathe there not a soul so dead to whom himself has never said, this is my own, my native land, whose heart has ne'er within him burned. When homeward his footsteps he hath turned from wandering on a foreign land. If such there breathe, go march him well. For him no minstrel's rapture swell. And we think of the rhyme and the rhythm of it. But not so with Hebrew poetry. It isn't in rhyme or rhythm at all. It's a multiplying of thoughts, and it's building on a thought. And so it's the duplicity of thought rather than the rhyming of words that to them brings the beauty. And they are called poetry. So if you're looking for rhyme, or if you're looking for a rhythm, forget it. You won't find it in Hebrew poetry. It's in the repetition of a thought with a slight change, a slight addition. And as we get into the Psalms, we will be able to point this out more clearly. Psalm 9:9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. It's saying the same thing in a slightly different way. And to them, that constituted their poetry. And so we say books of poetry, but you've got to think in Hebrew rather than in English. So Job is in the form of a dramatic poem. And it is the story of this great man of Uz. And so let's get into it. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. The word perfect, of course, as we have pointed out before, we must not think in the sense of sinless perfection. And that's usually our connotation with the word perfect. In the Hebrew and Greek, or in our Bible, it is a word that means a total man. He's a mature man. And probably we don't mean that he's sinless or sinless perfection at all. We just mean that he's got it together. And so he was a perfect man, upright. The word literally in Hebrew is straight. And so he's an honest man. Plus, He fears God and hates evil. Those two always go together. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. And when you see a person who is involved in evil things, you know that the fear of the Lord is not in his heart. Job had the fear of the Lord, which led him to this hatred of evil. A little background to his history. There was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. That is, he had a great number of servants. Of course, you'd have to have to watch over that large of flocks and camels and oxen and all. So that this man was the greatest of all of the men of the east. That would be east of the area of Jerusalem or Israel. So he was the greatest of the men. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. And they sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So evidently a pretty tight-knit family. Children got along well. They would trade houses, as far as the sons were concerned, for feasting. And they would all get together for these feasts. And it was so that in the days of their feasting, that Job sent and sanctified them. And he rose up early in the morning, and he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And so thus Job did continually. And so we see a man who is set as a classic example, a man who has been blessed with a good family, tight-knit family, a man who loves his family, a man who was concerned with the spiritual welfare of his family, a man who feared God, hated evil. Now shift the scenes. That gives you the introduction to Job. That's the man we're going to be looking at and talking about. Now we shift the scenes and we go behind the scenes. And we go into the heavenly scene. We go now into the realm of the spirits, that unseen realm. And we are given in this realm some insights. Insights that will presently have a lot to do with what we do see with Job. So we're going to take a little back behind the scenes view of what's going on in heaven that will soon be affecting Job very dramatically. Now there was a day when the sons of God, which is a common name for the angels. In Hebrews it said, which of the angels did he say at any time, "Thou art my beloved son, this day have I begotten thee"? There's only one begotten son, but the angels are referred to as sons of God from a creative sense. Even as John said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we're going to be, but we know when he appears we'll be like him." The sons of God were presenting themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one who fears God and hates evil?" As we pointed out, the word "considered" is a military term. It's the word that would be used of a general of an army who is studying a city preparatory to an attack, to develop his strategy for the attack, to find out the weakest part of the city's defenses, and developing his strategy to destroy the city. Satan had been studying Job. He had been developing a plan of attack, looking for the weak points. And Satan offered to God his evaluation, having studied Job carefully. Verse 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? And you have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself do not put your hand." And so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Satan had developed his philosophy concerning Job. He's a mercenary. He serves God because of the blessings. If God would take away the blessings, take away the wealth, Satan was certain that Job would just curse God. He was in it for the perks, all of the benefits, the blessings. Now, Satan does still have access into heaven. In fact, in the book of Revelation, we read of a future time just before the Lord comes again with the church, when Satan will be cast out of heaven. And we are told that at that point, the angels say, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. For Satan, the devil, the dragon, has been cast out, and he knows that he has but a short time," and so he's full of fury and wrath. But he is also called in that passage the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them day and night before the Father continually. He's a slanderer, and he seeks to slander you before God. Now, the interesting thing is that here is a man on earth of both whom God and Satan are conscious, even as God and Satan are conscious of you. Satan has his philosophy. God allows Satan the opportunity to test that philosophy. But we again note that Satan's power is limited by God. Satan could not touch Job until God gave him the permission to do so. Prior to that, God had this hedge around Job and his possessions, and Satan couldn't pass through. Even as Satan's powers against you are limited, he can only do what God allows him to do, no more. So we really need not fear, because his powers against us are limited according as God limits them. So Satan went forth to begin his work of destruction. Jesus said the enemy, referring to Satan, has come to rob, to kill, and destroy. And we see how he destroys Job's possession. There was a day when his sons and a daughter were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yes, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was still speaking, there came also another servant and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands. They fell upon the camels, and they carried them away. Yea, and they've slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and it smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, tore his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground and worshipped. And he said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So Satan did his dirty work. In a day's time, he wiped Job out. One disaster after another until Job was stripped of his possessions and of his children. Job's reaction, response, was that of falling upon his face, worshiping God, and declaring, Naked I came into the world, naked I will go out. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Put yourself for a moment in Job's shoes. What would your response be to this kind of a situation if you were totally wiped out? Would it be that of worshiping God, or would we be charging God foolishly? Would we be saying, well, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. I don't know why God, you know, is against me. And I'm afraid that we would be making foolish charges against God if things like that should happen to us. We see the integrity of this man, Job. He is a total man. So again there came, now we go behind the scenes again. Now again there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. He's a perfect and upright man, one who fears God and hates evil. And still he holds fast his integrity, although thou moved me against him to destroy him without a cause. So Job is being destroyed without any real reason from an earthly standpoint. Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. They say that the strongest instinct that man has is that of self-preservation. Satan more or less declares that here. Skin for skin, a man will give everything for his life. Put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he's in your hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the top of his head. And Job took a piece of broken pottery, a potsherd, to scrape himself with it. And he sat down among the ashes. He is certainly a pitiful-looking creature now. You know what boils are like. Covered from head to foot with these things, lying in the ashes, scraping the heads of the boils off with a piece of pottery. The stench and all must have been horrible. Then said his wife unto him, Do you still retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? You know, why do you hold on? Why do you hang on, Job? You ought to just curse God and die, get it over with. And he said unto her, You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson, as we continue with The Friends of Job. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Job. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing prayer.
Father, we thank you for the work of your Spirit within our lives as you mold and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. As you strip from us those props upon which our flesh is prone to lean. And as you bring us, Lord, just to yourself, where we have nothing but you upon which to rely, upon which to lean. Help us, Lord, to lean upon you, that we might find your help and your strength through the dark days. Lord, let this book minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Word for Today would like to invite you to come along on a revolutionary study of the Bible as we introduce Pastor Chuck's Genesis commentary in an ebook format. Not only will you have Pastor Chuck's in-depth commentary, this ebook allows access to enhanced research studies by honored Christian scholars instantly. Features include Hebrew and Greek word definitions, as well as images of historical maps and places just by clicking or touching your screen, an online dictionary, plus highlighting, note-taking, and bookmarking. And everywhere Pastor Chuck shares what he learned or studied something, you now have access to those very same notes. To get ready to study the Bible in a whole new way. Now you don't have to imagine what it was like to be there. This is the next best thing. To find out how to download Pastor Chuck's Genesis commentary to your electronic device, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or to watch a video demonstration, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.